From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, God is in the Front Line. The text is found in Deuteronomy 31 and verse 8. The Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. In the presence of a great work or a great warfare, here is a text which should help us to buckle on our harness. If Jehovah Himself goes before us, it must be safe to follow. Who can obstruct our progress if the Lord Himself is in the van? Come, brother soldiers, let us make a prompt advance. Why do we hesitate to pass on to victory? Nor is the Lord before us only. He is with us, above, beneath, around, within is the omnipotent, omnipresent One. In all time, even to eternity, He will be with us even as He has been. How this should nerve our arm! Dash at it boldly, ye soldiers of the cross, for the Lord of hosts is with us. Being before us and with us, He will never withdraw His help. He cannot fail in Himself, and He will not fail toward us. He will continue to help us according to our need, even to the end. As He cannot fail us, so He will not forsake us. He will always be both able and willing to grant us strength and succor till fighting days are gone. Let us not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord of hosts will go down to the battle with us, will bear the brunt of the fight, and give us the victory.
Sound forth thy glad joy.
To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, Let the Bible Speak is happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus upon the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is happy to make this booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas.
Thank you.
As he continues these studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns returns to his examination of verses 12 through 21 of chapter 5. The text is found in verses 5 through 17, a passage which many find difficult to understand. Yet, as Dr. Cairns will show, these are some of the most important verses in the Bible. In the preceding message, we saw that the entire human race has been condemned to death because Adam's sin has been imputed to all of his posterity. On today's program, Dr. Cairns will begin to explain the great contrast that exists between Adam as the federal head of the entire human race and Christ, who is the federal head of those who are united to him by faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul said, "All who are in Adam die. All who are in Christ live." Now here is Dr. Cairns to introduce this message, Christ's Abounding Grace.
Tonight as we continue with our studies through the book of Romans, we come to Romans chapter 5 once again. And again we're going to read the section verse 12 to 21. It's the same section we read last week, though we will take up verses 15 through 17 on this occasion. That sounds a very brief text. When we read it, you will see just how massive it is and what an undertaking it is for me. I said when I announced first our reading of this passage that it's a passage that should take in itself many months. It's one of the most important passages in all the Bible. It's also one of those passages that is so full that you could probably take a week almost per word, at least significant word, and sometimes even a week on a little preposition. That's how important. I'll give you an example that I'll not really be dealing with tonight, but you have the use of a little two-letter preposition in the Greek text, and you are told that condemnation is ek, this one sin of Adam's, and justification is ek, these many offenses of ours. Same preposition, but yet with very, very, very different meaning and significance. You could actually spend a lot of time on the details here, and they would all repay the closest examination. But since I have to finish before the end of the millennium, I will not take so much time. We're going to read the whole section then, verse 12 through 21. You will note that verses 13 to 17 form a parenthesis, that the major argument stated in verse 12 is taken up again in verse 18. Paul was not much given to worrying about style. I was noting what Martin Lloyd-Jones said, that preachers had read so much of great English literature. I don't know that he could say that nowadays. Most preachers are so ignorant of English literature that they can't use their own language, but that's another story. But he said for a long time so many of them were taken up with reading Gibbon and the rise and fall of the Roman Empire, and then reading Macaulay's history with their great rolling phrases and their wonderfully worked out cadences. And of course that is English written at its most perfect, outside of the authorized version of the scriptures. I'm talking about prose now. That is that people became so much taken up with style that they forgot the content. Paul wrote in the white heat of a passion for the truth that he was writing. He felt it, and therefore many a time he threw style out the window. And you will find that when we get into this parenthetical portion. I have to confess, it doesn't matter whether it's in Greek or English or Timbuktuian, if there's such a language, the style is ugly. I think it's deliberately ugly. It's meant deliberately to jolt us It's not a nice, free-flowing, even way of speaking. When he says, for example, not as the offense, so also is the free gift. There's no way that that's the way you write or speak. And I would say some of you English teachers, no doubt if a student had written in that style, they'd have got a D right away. Maybe an expulsion order. But it's a great thing when you can communicate truth with passion so that people, though they don't grasp the style, grasp the meaning. And that's certainly what Paul was all about here. So we'll read this, and as I say, do keep in mind that verses 13 through 17 form a parenthesis, and that 12 and 18 actually join up for the main argument. Having said that, we'll commence at verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his own precious word for his name's sake. Tonight we're going to be looking at verses 15 through 17. Let me remind you of the end of verse 14, where he says, Adam is the figure, the word is the type, of him that was to come. Adam, he says, is a type of Christ. What Paul means here is simply that in justifying believers, by imputing to them Christ's righteousness, God is following the pattern which he laid down in his dealings with all men in Adam. For he imputed Adam's sin to all his posterity, born to him by natural generation. That's the whole meaning of Romans 5, verses 12 through 14. Those verses show us clearly that in Adam, and in Adam's first sin, all men sinned. All men died. Remember, we noted the force of the verb in chapter 5 and verse 12, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that or because all sinned. All sinned. While in English there are times, it shouldn't really happen, but while in English there are times we're a wee bit slovenly in our use of the tenses of verbs, in the New Testament scriptures, you should always pay close attention to the tense of the verb. In Adam, all sinned, all died, and all came under condemnation. And all on account of that first sin of Adam, by which he breached the probationary command of God given to him in the Garden of Eden. And what Paul is saying here is this: as God justly imputed Adam's sin to all his natural born posterity to their death and destruction, so he justly imputes Christ's righteousness to all his spiritual seed, namely to his believing people, to their justification unto life. Now that is the parallel that Paul here establishes between Adam and Christ. Adam is a type of Christ. And you must keep in mind that this parallel is the fundamental and the overriding truth of this entire passage of Scripture. If you don't grasp that, then you have missed the meaning of Romans chapter 5. And if you miss the meaning of Romans chapter 5, quite simply, it is very hard to see how you can ever come to understand the gospel in biblical terms. You see, according to Paul, Adam and Christ were both of them divinely appointed to be the head of a race of people. They were divinely appointed to stand for those people as their head in a covenant before God. In that covenant, each of these acted not only for himself, but acted for his seed. And each of them passed on to his seed the effects of his own personal work. Now, in a nutshell, that is how Adam is a type of Christ. This is the parallel between them. But now in verses 15, 16, and 17, Paul shows that though parallel, the cases of Adam and of Christ, and the way in which the effects of their actions reach their seed, are not precisely similar, or not precisely alike. You'll notice that verse 15 commences with the word but. Now in English, as in most languages, but is a very small word. We were laughing just before we left home. I have a friend who hopes to be visiting us in a very short time from England to spend a month with us here in the United States. And he and I went to school together, primary school, and then diverged to different later schools. But we were in the same church, and we remained friends all our lives. Quite a considerable period of time, I might tell you. But we were laughing, Joan and I, just before we left, because he gets a little bit ticked off that he lives in England now. English people don't have the slightest clue about the most basic parts of English grammar. I don't know why that ticks him off so much, but it really does. And so he was sitting in Stanley Barnes's home, where Joan and I stayed during our time in Northern Ireland. I wasn't there. I was back here at the time. I didn't get to witness this glorious spectacle. But they were having a conversation. And suddenly out of the blue, Brian just wheels in Stanley, took him completely by surprise, and said, "Do you know what a conjunction is?" "What?" "Do you know what a conjunction is?" Maybe I should go around and ask, "Do you know what a conjunction is?" Well, but is more of a disjunction than a conjunction. And this is a fairly strong word that's used to denote this. that while there is a connection with what goes before, there is now a sudden difference in emphasis as the argument is progressing. So he starts with this "but," because now he's dealing not so much with the similarity between Adam and Christ, he's dealing very clearly with major points of contrast. Points that to him are so important and crucial that they stand as essential to what Paul is teaching as the basic parallel itself.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.